gracious, the most merciful. With the name of God, the loving. With the name of God, the one who protects. With the name of God, the one who forgives. With the name of God, the one who is forever, forever, forever accepting of every single one of us whenever we turn back to him. Those are not necessarily God's names. But these are all actions that he does subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, what I'd like to do is share a little bit of my journey to God. When I first started coming to him, I was so excited. I started reading the Quran in the English translation, and I felt like every time I read it, I connected to it. I felt like things would happen at school, and then I'd go home and I'd open the Quran and I'd close my eyes and I'd pick a random page, and all of a sudden, Allah's talking to me, and I felt so personally connected to him. And I felt love, and I felt hope. And I decided that because of that relationship, I wanted to study Islam really seriously and study it more. And so the more that I studied, the more that I attended lectures, the more that I attended the masjid, the more the messages that I started hearing about Allah were those related to one day you're going to die, and all of your sins are going to come to you. And are you prepared to meet your Creator? All of a sudden, the messages that I received were, it doesn't matter how much you're trying, you're not trying hard enough. The messages that I started receiving were, youth in America, they're so messed up these days. The fitna, they are fitna. Everything that I heard, that I felt, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connecting to him, based on love, based on hope, based on this awareness of him because I wanted to be close to him, those messages started turning to guilt, to shame, to terrified, being terrified of Allah's punishment. And back in two, we're back in one, we're back in zero, bismillah. Who'd like to start? Share with me. Yes.
Can you pass this back so we can hear it?
Just pass it back.
Well, we kind of had a deeper concept that we were talking about, how in Christian belief, some Christian belief, there's this idea that if you say believe in Jesus, no matter how much you sin, no matter how much bad you do, you'll always definitely go to heaven in the end. And we were talking Islamically, is that applicable as well? We were saying how a lot of Muslims are saying, no matter how much you sin, as long as you believe in the Shahada and believe in everything Islam teaches, that you'll be guaranteed paradise. And I heard this, and we were kind of saying, is that actually true? Because who are we to say what God's judgment is? Maybe you can believe in the Shahada, you can believe in everything Islam teaches, but what if you're a horrible person to such an extent that maybe God doesn't want you to go to Jannah?
That's a great question and a great point. We'll talk about that inshallah at the very end. Thank you so much for bringing it up. Jazakallah khair. Thanks. MashaAllah. Excellent. Next person. Where's the next hand? Yes, in the back. Thank you for sending the mic up. While we wait, we're going to say SubhanAllah. 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 Get those trees in paradise. Yeah.
So one thing I talked about with my friend Shah Osama is that a lot of times when we go to talks, Imams will focus on the punishments of the grave, like way more than the beauty of Jannah. And we thought that was something that definitely deters people from the religion,
right,
and pushes you further away,
right,
versus like a message of forgiveness and beauty of the religion.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Raise your hand if you've had that experience as well. Yeah? It's a lot of people. Thank you for sharing that. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakallah khair. Okay, let's get another one in the middle right there. Oh, sorry. Did you have that back there? Yeah, go for it. Sorry. Then we'll go to you, inshallah. My bad. I don't... Someone grab the mic.
Okay. So I think it's also important, like, our generation has heard about, like, the punishments in Jahannam and stuff, but we've also heard, like, if you repent, you will be forgiven. But we haven't talked specifically, like, how hard repentance is. Like, how hard that is going through, like, that psychological issue and just, like, what you did was wrong and, like, going through that whole process and coming to forgiveness and you forgiving yourself.
That's so beautiful, especially the part of you forgiving yourself. Barakallahu fiki, jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. Takbir. Give me one on this side. Give me on this side. Nobody on that side. Someone on this side. Yeah, in the back over there.
We talked about the fixation on outwardly sins and how when you see someone who does something they shouldn't be, it's automatically that it's one and done. There's no way for you to connect with God, and you put so much, you assume so much about the individual.
Right.
And I think specifically growing up, there was such a big emphasis on how you look on the outside as a Muslim.
Right.
There's no personal or internal growth.
So it's all about the image you project to other people versus what's going on in your heart. There's
yeah.
no balance between the two.
Yeah.
Thank you. JazakAllah khair. Let's get one more person. Right here in the middle, left. Right here. May Allah bless you for taking the mic all around. May Allah bless you being the prophet. JazakAllah khair.
What we really talked about was, if you really want to know Allah, you can look at the 99 names and that all his qualities are there. The second, mercy, you know, one of his names is Al-Rahim, the most merciful. And that, you know, his mercy is infinite. And when you walk to Allah, he runs. So it's, we talked about establishing that loving relationship with Allah, because it's not just here when you love him and you want to be with him.
JazakAllah khair. May Allah bless us with that relationship. Thank you.
I also, like, our group talked about, like, sort of acceptance and exclusivity. Personally, for me, I think, like, our Muslim communities, while we want to be accepting, I feel like we have to also realize what the problems are and accept them and face them. And I think, like, for the Muslim youth, we need to stop this entire idea of judging one another and assuming what is the right Muslim and what is not the right Muslim. Like, there's, you can't expect someone to be exactly perfect, and everyone is always improving. And I think judging someone without knowing them first is like the most of the roots of a problem in our society.
Mm-hmm. Thank
I
you.
Think that you need to accept that.
Jazakallah khair. Barakallah khair. The very last one we're going to the brother who raised his hand. The last two brothers, inshallah. And then what we'll do, inshallah, is for like 30 seconds, everyone who wanted to say something can just talk at the same time, and we're going to hear all of your opinions, inshallah. We're going to get everybody. I'm so sorry that we didn't actually get to everyone.
Yeah, one idea that we discussed was the idea of intention and how important that is. And that is a message that we've been getting in our local masjid. And like for it, it was given as that example. If you want to go to Umrah or if you want to go to Hajj, if you don't have the financial capability, but if you have the intention, it's like you did it.
Allah rewards you just for the intention of having intended to do it. Beautiful.
Yes. So that's a really important thing that we have to always renew and think about it as Muslims.
SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khair. Beautiful. Thank you. And the last one. Is that the same group? Okay. Thank you. May Allah bless every single one of you. Okay, last one.
Our group discussed like how like throughout my life, like I heard this thing where they said that just because you don't pray or you have some flaws that you shouldn't wear the hijab, like because you have faults and you sin, that just take off the hijab because you're not worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not worthy because you have mistakes.
Exactly.
You're not worthy of carrying what Islam looks like to other people.
Exactly.
So true, so unfortunate. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much.
That was great. I loved hearing your feedback. Let's talk about some of the messaging in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us. We know that Allah is so incredible and he is so close to us without us even knowing him. But have we thought about how loving he is really in the way that he describes his love? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his names, God Almighty, is Al-Wahhab. And there's different ways of translating this, but we're just going to say the giver of love, or the loving one. So he is Al-Wahhab. In times in our lives, can you think of one time in your life where you can think of a quality or something that you've been given to from, sorry, this came out really awkward. Can you think of a time where Allah gave you something because he's so loving? What's one example of that? Anything that comes to the top of your head? Sorry?
Life.
That's a great one. MashaAllah. That's one we can all relate to. What's another one? Family. But for some people, family is a test. For other people, family is a blessing. And even in blessings, there are tests. So every person has a different experience with that. What else?
Food.
Food. Yes, having food. So many people don't have food. Okay, you said worship, right? What is? Tuition! Alhamdulillah. Paying tuition can be a form of worship. And then once you pay it, if he still gives you money for food, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really bless you in every single way. Alright. What about things in your life that actually seemed like they were a huge non-blessing, but a few years later you realized that they were a gift? Has that ever happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Can someone give us an example? Oh. Sorry, getting into a school. Yes, getting into a different school than when you got into. Can I tell you a story? I'm going to tell you a story. So, when I went to undergrad, I didn't want to go there. But long story short, I ended up going there for a different reason. So I went to San Jose State, and I, subhanAllah, my husband, his name is Alma, he didn't want to go to UCI, but he ended up going to UCI. And because he went to UCI, and because I went to San Jose State, our MSAs through MSA West ended up working together on a bunch of different things. And he's going to San Jose State, going to UCI, was the reason that we actually met each other. And alhamdulillah, because of that, we've been blessed, alhamdulillah, with being married almost 8 years. But that happened because, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless everybody. May Allah bless all of you who want to get married with the most amazing spouse with the best time for you, amen. And if you don't want to get married, may Allah bless you with better. And if you don't want to get married, but you do want to get married, but you're not exactly sure, I'm just saying, may Allah give you whatever you want for better. Very, very touchy topic. But the point is that, subhanAllah, I didn't see the blessing in it until years later when I realized that that thing that I didn't want, Allah opened the doors for me just because he knew what was better in my future. Think about the mom of Musa, alayhi salam. So Moses' mom, she has a baby boy who's born in a time where baby being slaughtered, right? In and of itself, I mean, she didn't have like an ultrasound to find out what gender she had. She had the baby and realized it's a boy, and these boys are being killed. So when she has this boy and she's terrified of what's gonna happen to her, it's revealed to her that she should put him in a box and put him in the river. Now, if you know, how many of you have a sibling or like a young kid in your life that you love? Like sometimes you might get frustrated with them, but like you're not necessarily thinking I'm gonna go to a river and put him in a box, right? Like you might be frustrated, but you still love them. But this is a mother. And so she follows this command, she puts him in that box, he goes down the river, and Musa alayhi salam is taken where? Exactly to where she's trying to get to protect him from. He's literally taken into the home of the person who is slaughtering every single baby boy. Now Musa alayhi salam, I mean, does it look like he's being protected? It looks like he's going to be executed. Like, look where he's going to. How many times in our lives have we felt like, why is Allah doing this? God forbid that we have that thought. But sometimes it comes. What is the wisdom in this? What did I do wrong? How many of you have wondered thoughts like that? But look at what happens. Musa's mother, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about her heart, like, becoming empty. He's the one who made it firm so that she could be firm in this test. In the end, he brought her back, Musa alayhi salam. But now, he's there with the protection of the state. Now he is back, and she is the one who's providing him the milk. She's nursing him, but also the palace is providing her with a stipend for taking care of him. So not only does he come back with security, knowing that she doesn't have to hide him anymore, that he won't be killed, but also she's paid for taking care of her own son. So in the beginning, it looked like one of the worst misfortunes that happened in her life. But in the end, look at what the giver of gifts has given over and over and over. Not only did he protect her son, but he brought her back to her in complete protection. How many of you have been through an experience that you want to share right now? Let's take three people where something like that has happened. Right here. Yes.
Subhanallah, like the doors to everything else closed, and like it turned out that I had just enough money to go back to school, and that like the admission office like decided that okay, like you can come back without needing to reapply, just like the doors completely open. And it was a really hard year for me because I wasn't used to being challenged in my Islam, and I was like, why am I here? And, like, it's so hard now. Like, I took my hijab off, I don't understand. And then, like, by the end of the year, in the summer, I was wearing my hijab again, like, alhamdulillah, and, like, I realized that I needed to come back to school to be stronger in Islam because it was easy for me at first. And, like, now, like, I can be a Muslim amongst non-Muslims and, like, wear my hijab, and, like, I love my Islam.
But I really felt like I was being punished, you know, being so far away from my folks and being at all boys madrasa wasn't something I was especially excited for. But looking back on it, those were probably some of the best years of my life, you know, and so I definitely recognize that in my now.
So testing on me, and I wasn't always feeling my best during that time, and I blamed a lot of it on that friendship and on the environment I was in high school. It eventually led me to make a decision to leave high school, and at that point, it seemed terrifying, but looking back, like, it was literally one of the best things I've ever done. And I see, you know, right now, like, I see so much, I see the Butterfly in it now. Like, I see the Butterfly in the struggles that I was in, and I see the Butterfly in a feeling that way, because now I know, like, I know how to fix that feeling. Mm. I know how to never go back to that now.
Is that cool?
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
So this past year at university, I experienced sexual assault, and it happened to me over a course of 7 months. So before this, I kind of just, I've been going through it. I have good days and bad days, but I always wondered why it happened to me, and I just didn't understand, like, I don't get why it happened to me, you know? But now, 6 months after, I actually just have a really strong sense of faith that I never had before. Because when something like this happens to you, you can't talk to a human being about it. But there's only so much you can say besides, like, I'm so sorry, this happened to you, you should go get help. But when you're on the floor of that and you don't have to explain yourself and you can just cry it out, that's something that I never ever had before. And so, it's not even why it happened to me, it's just I'm kind of grateful and thankful that it happened to me, because something this traumatizing led me to believe.
And he tells us over and over that huwa ma'akum ayna ma kunt.
wherever you are. Our Raqib is there to be with you, to watch over you, even in times where you feel like you're alone and you can't protect yourself from yourself. And the second way that our Raqib is with us is that we know because he's watching us, we know because he's close to us, that we try our best to do the right thing. When we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being loving, he is so loving. He is so loving that when I intend to do something right and I don't do it, he'll still reward me. That when I do something wrong, he only makes it as if I committed one mistake. That if I wanted to do something, but I didn't get to do it, excuse me, that I wanted to do something, but I did do it, then he rewards me 10 times, 100 times, 700 times, and even more than that. There's no way you can lose with Allah. He literally will multiply your good and only write your bad one time. And if you ask for his forgiveness, right after you did that thing, the angels won't even write it down. And if you did it, and you waited 2 years, 3 years, 2 months, another day, in that moment and you ask for him to forgive you, then he'll still forgive you. And he'll turn it into a good deed, as he talks about in Surah Al-Furqan. There's literally no way you can lose with Allah. But what does that look like internally? When I know that Abu Raqib is watching me, then I'm a little more conscientious of what I'm about to do. How many of you are really, really aware of where your phone is right now? Yeah. How many of you realize it when you've left it somewhere like 5 minutes after it happened? Yeah, I left my phone in a taxi in Medina. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me with getting it back at the mass convention. Alhamdulillah. I know, you're like, what? Yeah, that's what I said. I said Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. My phone is so holy, dude. It spent so much time in Mecca and Medina, mashallah. But you want to know what's incredible to me? That he knew he was going to bring it back to me. And yet, in that whole process, he was so Latif, he was so kind with me with something so small that he put me in positions where, can I tell you the whole story? Do you want to know it? Okay, subhanAllah, I'm sure like 10 of you have already heard this story before, but subhanAllah, a few months ago, alhamdulillah, we were in Medina, and we were in a taxi, and just got this brand new phone, alhamdulillah. Like, I always have really old cell phones, they're like used, but like this is my first, like, not first, but one of my first like new phones. Somebody had just gifted it to me, it was so generous of them. And I'm like in a taxi in Medina, we're about to leave, get to the airport. I'm like taking a video, I was like putting on Snapchat, the mountain of Uhud. And then I put my taxi, put my phone down in the taxi, and then I got out, and then I got my bag, and then my husband and I, my mother-in-law, we walked into the airport. And then I was like, look at that, oh, Allah, God. And then we ran back outside, and of course the taxi is gone. And it's not like Uber where you can like track them down, right? Like, it's gone. So I'm like standing there, like making so much trouble, like, Allahumma, please, like, I know it's just a thing, but it's the most important thing of my life. Like, please let it come back. Like, I had all my notes on there, I had a bunch of important pictures on there, I had, like, you know, private stuff on there. And I was just subhanAllah, like, I'm in Medina, how in the world am I gonna get this back? So we fly to Dubai, and I'm like making so much trouble, but at this point I've just accepted, like, I lost my phone. And then we go to Dubai, and my husband had brought my old cell phone, so he gets, like, a SIM card for my old phone and a SIM card for his phone, so that we could, like, talk. And he texts me. And he's like, oh, dude, I accidentally texted your American phone. And like, I had to put my phone on airplane mode. So it's like, even if you tried to call so that the taxi driver could hear it ringing, you know, it's on airplane mode, so how are you even gonna get through? So like, someone would need to like, turn it off airplane mode, try to figure out like, let's say Yasmeen texted me. Let's say I have Yasmeen's number, she texted me. If I see it, it's gonna come up with Yasmeen, right? I'd have to unlock it so that I can actually call her back or text her back. So like, somebody would need to know my password to be able to do that. You see where I'm going with this? Like, even if someone found it, what are they gonna do with it? So he accidentally texts my number with his Dubai number. And because he accidentally texted my cell number with a number I don't have saved, that number came up as like 97562, etc. And so someone had found my phone. She kept watching it all day, turned off airplane mode, saw that number, and was able to type in that number and call me back. SubhanAllah. So then they called, and they're like, I found your phone. I found a phone in a taxi in Medina. And I was like, oh, no way, subhanAllah. And then after that, I'm like, how am I going to get it? I'm in Dubai. So then I had a friend of mine knows an incredible couple, may Allah bless them, who is studying in Medina. They went to that sister and picked it up, and I'm like, but it's still in Medina. My friend Maria Bangi, Wadaklofi, and her family, she was going for Umrah the next week. So she goes the next week, meets the sister in Mecca, but I live in NorCal, and Maria's in SoCal. However, she came back on the 24th of November, and I came to a conference on the 25th.
jagged is the one, the one who struggles with themselves is the one who they struggle with their own soul to do things on the obedience of Allah. You are a mujahid or a mujahida, someone who's doing, who's someone who's fighting for the sake of God in the spiritual way, that you're doing this thing even though you hate it. That doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you a hypocrite. It makes you a struggling believer. It makes you a warrior. So in all those moments where you feel like what was mentioned, how can I go back to him when the process of repentance is so difficult? It's so, you know, it's this process of internalizing what I've done. I've had people talk to me 5 years later. They're like, I got in a physical relationship with someone. They didn't have sex, but they did a lot of other things. And they're like, it's been 5 years. I've made tawbah every single day, and I can't let it go. We've had people who said that they've done things 6 years ago, 2 months ago, and it's impossible to forgive yourself. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who forgives. He is a satir. You know what a satir is? He is the one who covers. When you cover the mistake of a believer in this life, Allah will cover that mistake for you on the Day of Judgment. He tells us that, this is in Sahih Muslim, Sheikh Yashar Qadhi does a beautiful series on the names of Allah. And there's this hadith where this the believer is going to have a private conversation with Allah. And they're asked, did you do this? Did you do this? This sin, this sin, this sin, this sin. And of course you say yes to every single one. I mean, there's no way you cannot, because even if you said, no, I didn't, your arms are going to speak against you. Your tongue is going to speak against you. But it's also going to speak for you. It doesn't always have to be terrifying, but it is a little bit terrifying. But in all those moments, you keep saying, yes, I did, yes, I did. And you're waiting for some type of punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I hid them for you in this life, and I'm going to forgive them for you on this day. He hid our mistakes in this life, and he promises our forgiveness in the hereafter. How do you know that Allah has forgiven you? Because he promised you that he will forgive you when you come back to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over in the Quran, oh my servants who have wronged themselves, don't despair. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. He is the forgiving, the merciful. Everything, he forgives everything as long as we ask for that forgiveness before we pass away. So, what could you possibly do that is too big for his forgiveness? Do you understand what that sounds like? If you were to say, I've done so much that Allah can't forgive me, you are literally saying your sins are bigger than Allah. God forbid. Is that physical? That's not possible. There's no way that you could be so bad that Allah wouldn't forgive you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's so ready to accept every single one of us. What that looks like, though, is when I make that mistake and I go back to him, I ask him to forgive me and to help me. But then what if I do it again and again and again? Then it's like the hadith Qudsi, where a servant is asking for Allah's forgiveness and then he goes back to it. Then he asks for his forgiveness, then he goes back to it. Then he asks for his forgiveness and then he goes back to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, do whatever you want. And this is a summary of a hadith. As long as you ask for my forgiveness and you don't worship anyone but me, I will forgive you, as even if your sins hit all the way up to the clouds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's promising that he's going to forgive us. The question is, when are we going to start working on forgiving ourselves? Shaytan wants us to be so busy hating ourselves and feeling guilty about what we've done in the past that we don't have time to do good in the future. That so deserves a snap. I worked on that for so long. How many times have you wanted to do something, but like you're sitting there and you're thinking about all the messed up stuff you've done in the past? So you don't even do the right thing because you're so busy in the past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when you do good deeds, it wipes out the bad. And subhanAllah, I'm going to tell you one of my favorite verses in the Quran. A lot of people ask me this question. When I read the Quran, I feel like it talks about the hellfire so much. Have you ever felt that? When you open it and you're like, you hear about punishment and you hear about so much scary stuff. Yes, because that's real. That is a reality. It's about balancing hope and fear, and especially about having love. But also, when he talks about hellfire, he balances with talking about paradise. Some of us are motivated by fear. Some of us are motivated by hope. And what works for you is look at what works for you. He's talking to you. He's asking you to connect with the Quran in a language you understand. So when you look at the verses and you see that they talk about things that encourage you, focus on those verses and do good with those verses. You accept all the other ones. You accept every single verse in the Quran. But find what's going to motivate you and continue to use that to encourage yourself. What we're going to do, inshallah, is talk about, really quickly, three ways of connecting with him. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in order to come closer to him, love, we do the obligatory actions, and then we follow it up with doing voluntary stuff. If you're trying to pray 5 times a day, you're good enough. That's the best thing you can do. If you've already done that, follow it up with something else. That's incredible. May Allah give you success. The second thing is reading the Quran in a translation you understand. Raise your hand if you've read the Quran in a translation. Okay, on a regular basis. All right. For those of you whose hands didn't go up, today, choose to recite one verse a day in the translation. After 365 days, how many of you read? Mathematicians, mashallah. It's so possible to feel like I'm able to understand him and connect with him. When I read the words that he revealed to me, how else am I going to know the one who has revealed this entire way of living without reading his words? So, reading the verses in translation. And finally, I'm going to recite a verse of the Quran for you. My Quran teacher, may Allah bless him in every single way, he encourages that when we talk about the Quran, we should recite it. Because this is the Quran. I know I'm a female. I understand that that's not something common in our community. But we have this understanding that when it's for knowledge, when we're teaching one another, that this isn't about fitna, it's okay. Inshallah, this is a moment of teaching. And also, subhanAllah, it's the Quran. How many men have learned from women? How many women have been scholars who have taught masses of men the Quran? I stated a fact, but I also stated many other facts, and I only heard clapping for very few of those times, so I'm just saying. That was a joke that didn't go well. Sorry. I'm just going to stop myself while I'm not ahead. All right. So, I want you to close your eyes. And in that moment, all right, it's the moment where, please close your eyes for real. It's that moment where, subhanAllah, it's your last moment on earth. You've lived a life of struggle. You've tried to do good. You've made mistakes. You've tried to come back to him. You faltered. But you've tried. And you've tried and you've tried. And in those moments you didn't want to try, you still tried. And in those moments that you tried and you didn't want to try and you stopped trying, you went back to him. Over and over and over and over. And then in this moment where the angels are coming to you to take your soul, imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Indeed those who've said, our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And they've been firm on that. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels descend on them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be afraid. And don't be sad. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. And be given the glad tidings of paradise. Imagine in that moment you're given the glad tidings of paradise. And then as your soul is taken, and it's taken all the way up through the heavens, the angels say the most beautiful names that you've ever been called in this life. And then you've gone through being buried, you've gone through being questioned, you've gone through the siwat. And you get into paradise, and you're standing there, and somebody comes up to you, and they cover your eyes. They cover your eyes, and that person who's covered your eyes, you don't know who they are, but you touch their hands. And all of a sudden, you recognize the hands of the person that you have missed for so long. Maybe it's a grandparent who passed away when you were a kid. Maybe it's a parent who you've missed for so many decades. Maybe it's a best friend or a cousin. Maybe it's your sibling. It's somebody who went before you, but you haven't seen in so long. And then all of a sudden, they're standing there in front of you. You turn around. You see their face. Their face is so bright. And you realize that inshallah, for the rest of eternity, you're going to be together. And that's not because you were perfect. That's because you believed in Allah. You tried your best to live this life however best you could. You balanced being fearful of him, but hopeful of him, and trying your best to be conscientious of him. And you're hoping that, God willing, that in and of itself will be enough to gain his pleasure. We can't get anywhere from our own deeds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, can give and give and give. You can open your eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who meet each other in that moment. Ameen, ya Rab. And make us of the people who are like, I remember seeing you in that room. Ameen, ya Rab. It's so possible. How many times, can I tell you something? Have I been with a sister? And I'm like, oh man, may Allah bless us with meeting in Mecca. And then Allahu Akbar, we really meet in Mecca. Or one time in high school, I was like, inshallah, we'll get to study in Egypt together. And then we really studied in Egypt together. Never doubt when your draw is being accepted. When I got my cell phone back, I was like, I should have made draw for paradise. Like, he clearly answered my draw cell phone, but what about the bigger stuff? Don't ever underestimate Allah's generosity. He is the loving. He is the forgiving. He is the one who hides our faults. Now let us work on building that relationship with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people that he loves. Ameen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We're going to do 5 minutes of questions, inshallah. So really quickly, I'm just going to turn this off.